talk about different categories of presence. And some of you haven't opened your presence yet, right? So I want you to turn to the person beside you, if you haven't opened your presence, and say, this is what I'm really hoping to get. Wait for it. And if you have opened your presence, you can say, this is what I'm going to get at the Boxing Day sale tomorrow. This is a big one. Let me think of the person beside you.
We have a friend that has a different category of present, and she's a person that you give a present to her and you pretty much give her the receipt at the same time, because it doesn't matter what you buy, she's going to take it back and exchange it exactly for the thing that she wants. There's lots of different categories of presents at Christmas. But today, we celebrate the gift that smashes all the categories. Today we receive something, a gift of favour from God. I want to explain what I mean by favour. So earlier on we heard about the shepherds who are gathered, who are in the fields and they're looking after their sheep, and an angel appears to them and says, it's good news of great joy. On this day in a city not far from here, a saviour has been born, the long-awaited Messiah. It is good news for all people. Thanks, Ross. You bring up my slide, please, mate. And then the angel goes on to say, that's not meant to come up. Can you fast forward that? Thanks, Ross. Thank you. Just as they're getting over the shock of this one angel, the whole sky is lit up. And the first Christmas carol is sung. And the angels say this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favour rests. It's an incredible claim. The reason that we gather here today is because we have received, through the birth of a child some 2,000 years ago in Palestine, God's favour, God's delight, God's pleasure, His satisfaction, His desire, His favour. And the truth of the matter is, His favour is not forced on us, but offered to us. Tragically, it's not always received by all, because we do either choose to accept it or reject it. And when we receive Christmas favour, this favour that is offered through Jesus, it can bring peace to our hearts. Now, God's favour manifests itself in many ways, but today I want to talk about just two ways that this favour that we find in Jesus is made manifest in our lives. The first is this. We say that God's favour destroys walls. Now, we all build walls in our lives, don't we? Every one of us here, in some way, shape or form, builds walls. And in fact, humanity has become very, very good at building walls. I'm going to show you some walls, and if you know which walls these are, there's no prize. Just get it out there quickly. If you know these walls, I want you to yell out what they are, okay? You're allowed to yell in church this morning. Okay, here we are. I'm not sure why this is not working. Thanks, Ross. Hadrian's Wall. You were here last night, Richard. You know that one already. Okay, Hadrian's Wall. Where's that found? And it divides the north and the south to keep out all the hoarders and all those things. About 100 years AD. This was built, 100 years AD. And I always look at this wall and I go, couldn't you just jump over it? Anyway, that's the first wall. Next one, thanks, Ross. Where's it found? Okay, just checking we're on the same place. And this was built to keep out the Mongolians. And unless, of course, you've seen, has anyone seen the Great Wall movie by Matt Damon that Matt Damon was in, released last year? Anyone seen it? Hands up, just so I know. Only a few of us. Can I say, if you like sort of like adventure type things, go and watch it, download it, whatever. It's a great show. But it wasn't just to keep out Mongolians, let me tell you. It was something else. But we digress. Thanks, Ross. Next one. There we go, Jim. In Australia, we don't have great big walls, do we? But what we have is a rabbit-proof fence. Western Australia, 3,256 kilometres long. And it's designed to keep things separated. Thanks, Ross. No. Tragically, on this day, Christmas Day, the place of Jesus' birth, there is a wall that separates his place of birth from the place of his death and resurrection, and they're not far from each other. This is found in the Middle East. Bethlehem and Jerusalem are in spitting distance, yet there's a wall put between them. We humans are good at building walls. We are good at building walls. Walls divide. But more than that, they actually make us unhealthy. One of the most perhaps infamous walls is this one. Anyone? Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall. Can you believe that next year it will be 30 years since that is torn down? That's almost my age. 30 years. I'm almost 30 years old. It makes me feel old when I think about that. When this wall was built, East German psychiatrists actually noted the profound impact it had on the people who lived near it, especially those who lived close to it. They discovered that this wall, how it separated people, east from west, caused rage and dejection, and in fact, forms of physical illness. See, walls just don't divide us. They actually make us unhealthy. They came up with a phrase for this illness that happened because of the Berlin Wall. Do you know what it's called? They weren't very imaginative, the East Berlin psychologists. It was called wall disease. Wall disease. And they said the closer you live to the wall, the deeper people's illnesses became. And the only way to stop it was to get rid of the wall. And when it did, the same psychologists tracked down those suffering from wall disease and discovered that in the coming weeks, months and years, they actually got better. And they coined a phrase, a term for it. They called it emotional liberation. Set free emotionally from that which was causing division and pain. Here's the thing about walls. All of us can be good at building them, can't we? We can all suffer from wall disease at times. And we build walls in different ways. I mean, most of us inherently know what is good and right and pure and helpful and loving. And we choose to not do that a whole lot of the time. And in some sense, we sort of start to build a wall between us and God. But even so, we build walls between each other, don't we? Someone says something that we don't like or don't want to hear. Someone doesn't do something that we want to hear or don't or like. Or circumstances come in and all of a sudden we start building a wall and it's brick after brick and stone after stone. Till all of a sudden, before we even realize it, we have a great big divide between us and God or us and others. And in the end, in many ways, when we build those walls, we're the ones that actually become a little bit sick. I forgot I had this on, Wendy. We become a little bit sick. And make no mistake about it, it plunges us quite often into some emotional issues, but also some spiritual darkness. And mate, let's not pretend this morning. We are here because of Jesus. Somehow, for some reason, you've come because Jesus was born and has made not just a present, but an eternal difference in this world. Life is more than just the physical. There is a spiritual side to life as well. See, the good news at the heart of Christmas is that God chose to step over the wall. Over the wall that we build up, and he did that in and through Jesus. God came and identified with us, but more than that, in the story that unfolds after Christmas, he lived, he grew, he lived. And in his death and resurrection, we see that he just doesn't step over the wall, but he smashes the wall. Christmas means the walls that separate us from God and others can be torn down. And when they do, we receive light and love. We receive emotional liberation. And we receive spiritual wholeness. We receive God's favour. It's why the Christmas and the Easter stories are inextricably linked. The Christmas story without the Easter story is just a fairy tale. But when they come together, they are life transforming. They are life transforming. Thanks, Ross. One pastor says this, next slide, thanks, Ross, that the manger and the cross are two wooden objects that show us the lengths that God will go to tell us that he loves us. The cross and the manger, two wooden things that tell us just how much God loves you. So the favour of God tears down walls. But it also rebuilds lives. Anyone ever been to New York? Anyone? Love New York. Anyone been to the New York Metropolitan Museum? Just out of interest. Wow, you guys are awesome. You might have seen this depending on when you went. See, there's a statue. Next slide, thank you. That was built by Tullio Lombardo, who was a 500-year-old Venetian master. And in 2002, during the night, not sure how it happened, but it fell. And it smashed. 28 recognizable pieces and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fragments. And the curator and all those at the museum said, what on earth are we going to do? See, this wasn't just any piece of work. This is a masterpiece of Adam. Adam from the Genesis story. Adam from the Garden of Eden. And so they decided, well, we need to try and put it back together again. And so they used state-of-the-art technology, 3D imaging and all those sorts of things. And they restored the sculpture. It took them 12 years to restore this sculpture, piece by piece and fragment by fragment, until it was all put back together. In 2014, it went back on display. The rebuilding of Adam was there, a second Adam, if you like, rebuilt. In fact, so well had they done the job, they say the experts actually had to get very close to see that in the beginning, so that it actually had been ever broken. But here's my point. When we build walls between God and ourselves or ourselves and others, ultimately we become broken. We become chipped. We're bruised. And sometimes we fall and we fall and we fall and we keep getting broken and broken and broken. And sometimes we say, when on earth is this ever going to end? And I wish I could answer that for you. I don't know. But this I do know. This I do know. The good news of the Christmas story is that in Jesus, God began to restore the world and lives back to where they should be. And when you receive the favor of God, when you recognize that there are walls and you allow Jesus to tear them down, he will rebuild you bit by bit. It might take days. It might take weeks. It might take months. Might even take years. We might even bear the scars or a chip here and there. But we know that when Jesus came, showed his favour, when we are rebuilt, we could be... It's a hard time on Christmas Day. Apparently I'm speaking for too long. Okay, almost finished then. Okay. And so, but what happens when we allow Jesus to do that? We can be woven into the wonderful tapestry of God's healing power. At the heart of the Christmas story is a God who will go to great lengths to break down walls and restore lives. And he does this... And you might have heard it before, but God loves you. That's because God loves you. And God will continue to come to you and tell you of his love. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it but receive it. There's a writer named Max Licato. He's a Christian writer, and he writes all sorts of stuff, very easy to read. And he's got like a little thing you would actually put on your refrigerator. It says this. He says, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he will listen. You can live anywhere in the universe, yet he chooses to live with you. And the Christmas gift he has sent you in Bethlehem, face it, friends, and like Max Licato says, he's crazy about you. See, there's another word in the Bible that's used alongside of favour. It's a very Christian word. It's this word, grace. Grace. Grace means the unearned, unmerited favour of God. It's a gift we can't earn, something we can't buy. One of the, a saying from a pastor overseas that I found really helpful was this. If you need God's grace or favour, all you need is need. If you need God's favour, all you need is need. Grace that tears down walls and rebuilds lives. Friends, it's Christmas time. And it would be really easy for us to come along this day and think of the beautiful image of a baby in a manger, a baby that apparently, according to one of the carols, never cried. Anyone had a baby that's never cried? And we can have this beautiful image, but Jesus didn't just come to be a beautiful baby in a manger. Because of Jesus, everything has changed. Because of this, everything has changed. And so the challenge today is to engage and ask these questions that will come up. Thanks, Ross. The questions are, what walls do you need tearing down? And where does your life need building up? We're going to spend just a couple of moments in silence. Nick's just going to play a little bit of song beneath it just to give us some space. And I want you to think, in my life, what walls need tearing down? And where do I need to be built up? What we're going to do after that is I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to pray for the wider community and wider world. Is that okay? So let's just take some time to be still. You might want to close your eyes and think about this, but let's do that now. Let's join together in prayer. God of incredible love, we thank you that today we get to remember and to celebrate that God is with us, Emmanuel, that the Christ child was born. We thank you for the favour and the peace and the grace that is present and being given to us. Lord, this morning I indeed we pray for those amongst us here who recognise that there are walls in their own lives that need to be torn down. And I would ask, loving God, that you would help people to do that they would not shy away, but they would be able to engage and break these walls down so that they might find new life, new hope and joy. And Lord, for those people here this day whose lives need to be built up, whatever that might mean for them, Lord, I again pray and ask that that would happen, that somehow you would surround them with those who would help to build them. That even now, in this day, they might sense your presence with them. But God, we don't pray just for ourselves. We pray for those beyond this community here. We think of our country and our land, Australia. We give you thanks for it, but we also say, Lord, we know that there are walls that have been built between lots of different people, between old and young, between rich and poor, between migrant and ethnic, between those who've been here for thousands of years and those who've been here for hundreds. Lord, we recognize that there are many walls present. Would you help us to be ones that were not putting bricks into them, but taking bricks out? And of course, Lord, we think about around this world where there is war, where the walls are more than just walls, they're bullets, they're bombs. Lord, we ask that somehow, that as we remember this time when you say, when we hear that you are the Prince of Peace, that somehow this day, that your peace will become more present. And in doing so, Lord, that you would build up lives. We thank you that you've heard our prayers. We thank you that you're present with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.